It's Food Friday, and this week we're talking about the cuisine of Croatia.
You can find a lot of surprising dishes in and around the country, but some hallmarks of Croatian cooking might be familiar to us here in Wisconsin, from hearty stews, sausages, and even homemade cheese.
Lori Skelton is a WPR classical music host and a Food Friday regular. She's also leading a WPR travel vacation to Croatia and Slovenia next May. Lori, thanks for being here.
Dobar dan, kako si?
You're hosting a trip to Croatia next year.
Yes.
With this food, it seems like national borders are less important than the people and the land, right?
And the fact that there are food traditions that have carried over even as borders have changed over the centuries. We're talking about Croatia, which is on the eastern side of the Adriatic Sea, but it's been Turkey's been involved, and the Austro-Hungarian Empire has been involved. And if you've ever read Lydia Bastianich's cookbook, Lydia's Italy, her home, Istria, is now actually a part of Croatia. So it's right on the border. There's a chance for an amazing melding of cultures, and then, of course, an amazing melding of food. So as you say, there are certain things about Croatian cooking that you immediately recognize, but there are all of these interesting variations that I'm having a lot of fun with.
What are some of the key parts of Croatian food that you're running into? What kind of defines the heart of Croatian cooking?
I'm finding more and more of a reliance on fresh herbs than, say, Indian food is all about not just spices, but layering spices so you get different flavors. I'm not saying Croatian cooking is bland. There's an awful lot of paprika. Gee, Hungarian, I wonder why. And then the cookie recipe that I've fallen in love with has cinnamon and nutmeg and black pepper in the cookies. I'm not saying that the food is bland, but it tends to focus on maybe one or two stronger flavors, and they're combined in ways that I'm not exactly familiar with.
Let's talk about that recipe then, those cookies that you talked about. Paprenjaki?
Paprenjaki.
Excellent.
Yes.
They have black pepper in them. We've got the recipe up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Tell us about these cookies.
These are used in the holiday season, very much the way we would use gingerbread. You can make them so that they're a little bit firmer, and they're outlined in royal icing. I've even seen paprenjaki men with the eyes and the buttons and the whatnot. And it's butter and lard, sugar and honey, ground walnuts, lemon, and then cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, cardamom, and black pepper. It's a fairly stiff dough, but you can roll it out. It's one of those great doughs that it doesn't seem to mind if you overwork it a little. They're supposed to be a fairly firm cookie, but if you can make them a couple of days ahead of time and put them in an airtight container so they can get soft, they're wonderful. Incredibly spicy and yet sweet at the same time.
You made a batch. The reviews, I'll say, were positive, Lori. Now, you were saying the other day, I don't think it was in these cookies, but often with pastries, there's some alcohol in the dough in Croatian cooking.
Lots of alcohol in the dough. One of the pastries I'm looking forward to trying when we get there is a krostula, which is a sweet dough that's enriched with eggs and olive oil, and rakija, which is a fruit brandy that's very similar to Italian grappa. They do a lot of frittule, or what we would call a sweet fritter, where the dough would be perhaps wrapped around prunes or dates, but the prunes and the dough will have a little bit of that alcohol in it as well. There's one cake I cannot get a recipe for, but I've heard the recipe for. It's a traditional, the bride makes this the day before the wedding to maybe sweeten the groom's attitude a little bit more. And that includes liqueur that's made from rose petals. So alcohol is important. I'm not saying we're planning to go to Croatia and get completely smashed. That said, one of the great winemakers who came to California in the 60s and gave California its boost on the world stage in winemaking is Mike Gergich, one of the great Croatian winemakers, got his name really in this country.
Lori Skelton is a WPR classical music host and a Food Friday regular. We're talking about Croatian cuisine now. And as we are drawing the line between Croatia and the United States, let's bring it right home to Wisconsin. You've seen cheese curds show up in this.
I was stunned to find dairy is really important. They have one particular pastry that's an entree. It's not meant to be sweet. They call it Strictly, but they love this cottage cheese and sour cream filled pastry so much that they've got two ways to prepare it. You can either make the pastry and then boil it or bake it. They do a lot with softer curd cheese, similar to what we would call a chev, only it's made from cow or sheep milk. And you can either serve it at the beginning of the meal, drizzled in olive oil, serve it for dessert, drizzled in honey. And yes, apparently in Croatia, they love squeaky cheese. I want to find out what a Croatian cheese curd tastes like.
And the cheese is homemade.
Very, very often you'll find a lot of really good cheeses in, from just small communities. And this is what we're bringing out. Very, very similar, it sounds like, to what we've got in our farmers markets.
And staying in Wisconsin a little bit, Lori, you are a fan of some Balkan restaurants in Wisconsin. People might see Serbian restaurants. This is across the border. Some common themes here between Serbian and Croatian cooking. What do we have access to here?
If you are in the Milwaukee area, you probably already know what I'm going to say. The Three Brothers, the restaurant in Bayview. They bill themselves as Serbian, although one of the stories I heard is that when the restaurant started in the 1950s, the Three Brothers it was named after were still in, at the time, Yugoslavia. So, again, that whole idea that the borders are a little bit fluid. Now, when I was a little kid, my parents took me there, and this was my light bulb moment, that food was more than just the fish sticks in the cafeteria, that food could be an adventure. Between the feta cheese in the salad, which suddenly made green peppers taste good to me for the first time, to that incredible phyllo pastry pie called börek, which you can have at the Three Brothers with cheese and spinach or with meat. Although if you are going to the Three Brothers, it really does let them do their best job. If you want the börek, call ahead, because it can sometimes take an hour to get that to your table. But that was my introduction to what food of, for want of a better word, the Balkan Peninsula can taste like. It's always been a favorite, and I can't recommend it enough. So if you are interested in what we're talking about today, but you don't think you're going to be able to make any of this food, if you are in the Milwaukee area, the Three Brothers is always worth the drive.
Yeah, certainly, because sometimes food that isn't familiar can be intimidating. Is there a good place to start when it comes to Croatian food that we're making at home when we don't really have the experience?
The dish that made me so happy to try in the last couple of weeks is a simple chicken and vegetables dish. It's familiar enough that you're going to recognize it, but there's just enough differences that you can tell it's not the way your mother makes it. First of all, your vegetables start with green pepper, but not sautéed. You get out a cast iron skillet or any pan that can handle high heat, and you throw in your green pepper in the hot pan with no fat. You blister the green pepper. If you've got a griddle, do it on the griddle. Then you take that green pepper out of the pan, and then you add your chicken and your onion and your mushrooms. The recipe I was given said just use button mushrooms. I ended up adding other stronger mushrooms as well. And that's when you sauté it in fat. I would normally sauté it in olive oil. Croatia says you sauté it in butter. And again, just different enough that the taste made a real impression on me. You add thyme leaves and smoked paprika. And here's the other thing. Chicken and vegetables, we usually put that on the plate with a starch on the side. In Croatia, they like eating this as a sandwich filling. They put it on a soft roll the way we put hot ham on a roll on Sunday afternoons.
I love the versatility of that. And that recipe is also up at WPR.org/Food Friday. And we are talking with WPR's Lori Skelton about Croatian cooking.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this a type of food you're familiar with? Do you have any favorite recipes to share? If you've traveled to Croatia or other areas of the Balkans, what do you remember about the food? Is this part of your own family's food heritage? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Keely Boltina. We continue our conversation on Food Friday with WPR's Lori Skelton. We're talking about cooking Croatian style.
You can find a couple of recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you familiar with food in and around Croatia? Is it part of your family's history? Do you have a favorite dish or recipe or memory to share? Do you have questions about this kind of food and how to make it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Lori, Croatia has a long coastline and there are lots of flavorful fish that we find in the food there. Where do we start on the fish front?
You start with oily fish in the Adriatic, sardines, mackerel, something called Mediterranean sand smelt. I am dying to try. Of course, tuna bonito, anchovies. So start with fish that are oily. Simple grilled mackerel, grilled sardines would be a great way to go, especially because one of the best ways to serve grilled whole fish in Croatia is stuffing it with Swiss chard, which was new to me. I would normally put maybe branches of thyme or something, or maybe some fennel fronds. This was the first time I'd ever encountered Swiss chard, which I absolutely adore on its own. In the 80s, we all remember squid ink pasta, the black pasta that was very, very shishy for a while. Well, every seafood restaurant in Croatia has some kind of squid ink risotto, but it's not just squid ink to make the rice black. There is squid in that, but it's also chock full of other seafood, especially mussels and clams. They really love shellfish in the risotto. The other thing that I'm looking forward to trying, I made one myself, but of course, there are as many ways to make brudet, a fish stew, as there are cooks making it. I gather one of the sayings is the uglier the fish, the tastier the stew. You'll have your fish and your crustaceans stewed down with onions, a little bit of tomato, some kind of vinegar, either straight vinegar or a lot more lemon juice than I would have expected. And then you cook it slowly until the fish is done. You'll probably throw in a little bit of paprika, maybe some bay leaves. The version I tried had this amazing combination of saffron and basil. Now, I'd always been told with basil, chop it up, you add it right at the very end, otherwise the flavor is lost. Here, the combination of basil and saffron gave this a beautiful warmth without burning your tongue.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Teresa is with us in Madison. Teresa, hi.
Hi there. I have you on speakerphone. Maybe I should
That's okay. Just go for it, Teresa.
Okay. Well, all right. Yes. I grew up next to my Croatian grandmother in Milwaukee. And I had the pleasure of just being able to traipse through her flower bed to get to her house and watch her stretch strudel dough, make fine egg noodles, make sarma, make all of these wonderful dishes. And my father would make some of these things, too. He didn't stretch the strudel dough, but it was just an art just to watch her do that. Now I go to the frozen food section and get my strudel dough and think I'm doing pretty good. But he would make it from scratch, and it was just an amazing thing. And when I, in 1980, I went to visit relatives. I showed up on the doorstep, and they let me in. I had no way of contacting them in advance because of lost addresses, but they welcomed me into their home, and there I had strudel, and it was just like what my grandma made, and it was just a powerful experience, that food connection. Those many miles.
So. Thanks so much for sharing that story, Teresa.
I've got a question. You said your father was making pasta, making noodles.
My grandma was making strudel dough. Go ahead. Sorry.
Was anybody making like a noodle or a pasta or of any sort?
Yeah. Noodle. I said, my grandma made strudel dough, and she also made her own egg noodle dough, and then she would roll the dough and chop, 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 chop in these fine little Egg noodles.
I wanted to ask about the noodles. Did she ever roll them around like a pencil?
I don't remember her doing that, no.
Okay, now this is an Istrian dish that Lydia Bastianich talks about a lot, where you roll out your pasta and you cut it into little squares and then you wrap it around something thin so that it looks like a half hollow tube, and then you serve it not with tomato sauce but with a stew, like a chicken stew or a mushroom stew. Sounds amazing, that futsi pasta.
It sounds really hearty and incredible. Let's take another call. Nina in Royce Lake. Looks like we've got another grandmother connection. Nina, what's your story?
I am half Croatian. My father is full blood and very proud of his heritage. And we make something that is known up here as pigs in the blanket, cabbage rolls.
Yes.
But he insisted it be called sarma.
Yes, exactly. Because you either do stuffed peppers in the summer or stuffed sauerkraut in the winter. It's the same name. And yes, they love the idea of having minced meat inside a vegetable. It sounds incredible.
Yes, and no tomato sauce. That is against the rules.
Yes, exactly. That just blew my mind. I'd have a hard time getting that past my own mother.
Nina, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Lori Skelton is with us, WPR's own Lori Skelton, on this edition of Food Friday. We're talking about cooking Croatian style. We've got a couple recipes, an entree, and a dessert. You can do the dessert first if you want, like we did, at WPR.org/Food Friday. Talk some more, Lori, about pasta in Croatian cooking, going in with the stew again, not the tomato sauce.
Okay, you've got your futsi pasta, which is served with stew. We've all heard of gnocchi, the potato dumplings that are served. I've always had gnocchi with lighter sauces, very often like a pesto. Here you serve gnocchi with what is called pasticada, which is veal that is marinated in vinegar for a couple of days and then braised for hours, first in its own sauce or its own juices, and then you add more red wine. So again, the idea of pasta with something hearty on top of it. We're not going to be there at Thanksgiving time, so maybe I'll have to wait a year to try this. But they do a lot of roast turkey with what they call melinci pasta, which really isn't pasta. It's a dry, flat bread that you soak in the roasting juices of the turkey so that it sort of has the feel of like a lasagna noodle. They call it pasta, but it's technically a flatbread. And again, something very, very hearty. It goes counter to a lot of Italian cooking, but it sounds really delicious. And then, of course, there's the bean soup, sometimes served with sauerkraut, that they called menestra. Again, it's in one of Lydia's own cookbooks. She loves it. But since when did you think of sauerkraut as being part of Italian cuisine?
That has not been my experience, Lori. Let's take another call. Julie from Two Rivers, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. What a wonderful show. My grandparents, great-grandparents were from Croatia and from just across the border in Serbia, a village called Apatin in Serbia. And then in Croatia, the village was Majevac, which I couldn't pronounce until I went there.
I am having trouble learning that language. It's a completely different sound.
It is.
It's beautiful, but it's hard.
Yes, it is. My grandmother, before she passed away, made sure I could spell and pronounce the name of the village when it was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Okay.
And it was Burismart then, and then it became Majevac. So we went there. I discovered the village. I found it, and we went there in 2014, and it was just amazing. There's a winery there that was delightful. And so now I understand, you know, my family, they were all winemakers.
Yeah,
and my brother still is. Yep. So goulash and wine and pastries. My grandmother was an incredible cook and baker. And so, wow, it's really amazing. One of the things, though, the food there was the best part of the trip. Europe, the Eastern Europe.
Yep.
they are just incredible cooks. At that winery, when we approached, they had a big pot on an open fire. And I think it was goulash in there.
Great, Julie. Thanks so much. Are you looking forward to pairing Croatian wine with your Croatian food, Laurie?
I'm looking forward to learning more about it. I know Croatia has a great wine tradition, but it's not wine that gets to this country very often, so I'm looking forward to finding out how everything works together.
And you'll smuggle a bunch back for WPR tasting, off-premises, of course.
I won't smuggle it.
That's illegal, too.
I do know that there are at least two wineries planned for our trip next spring, so no doubt we will have arrangements made if we want to send anything home.
I can't help but notice that certainly our callers have had comments on the food, but what they've really been talking to us about, like, memories and these connections. So when you go to Croatia, what do you hope to learn, not just about how to make the food or what it tastes like, but what it means to people?
I want to find out just how deeply those roots go. I have discovered that Franz Josef Haydn, classical music, we think of him as stuck in, you know, standard straight Vienna, that era of classical music, a lot of his symphonies, his later symphonies, were based on Croatian folk tunes. So I'm really looking forward. It sounds like a lot of this area has kind of gotten buried, and I'm just looking forward to letting Croatia stand on its own, stand very loud and proud and say, this is who we are.
Laurie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Dobro dan.
Laurie Skelton, join us for a look at Croatian cooking on this week's edition of Food Friday. She's leading a WPR travel vacation to Croatia and Slovenia, is it, Laurie?
Yes.
Slovenia, that's next May. You can find two of the recipes we've been talking about at WPR.org/Food Friday. We've got an entree, chicken and vegetables, and then we've got some cookies with black pepper in them.
They're delicious.
Sounds amazing.